Case on calendar is 98-543, City of Dallas, West Hearing Central, versus Dr. Dennis Leon, Mr. Dieters.
Court permission, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for a moment. What's your time there? May I please report? My name is Leon Dieters. On behalf of Dr. Dennis Leon and the Tallawanda School Board, I would like to thank the court for hearing this issue of personal judgment. This action was originally filed as a reference disposal case under 149-351. However, this is not a case of reference disposal. Rather, this is a case concerning record creation. Is there a statutory obligation to create a record that citizens behalf when the items at issue are neither solicited or utilized by the public officer? Under 149-011G, an item is a record and it serves to document the public functions of the office. The Court of Appeals in this case erred when it interpreted a record as any item which in its view could have or should have been used by the school. This is contrary to this court's clear definition of a record that is set forth in Whitmore versus Zachary and Journal. This court stated that not every item received by a public office is a record, but instead an item is a record when it is used in fact by the public office to carry out its duties and responsibilities.
If you were going to just try to distinguish Whitmore, how would you do it?
John, I'm not sure I understand the question. Distinguish it in that
my question is, isn't Whitmore dispositive?
Yes, Your Honor. Whitmore's solely on this particular case, and Whitmore, the judge received letters which were unsolicited and did not utilize those documents by her testimony. In fact, in that case, I think that case even goes further in the fact that she integrated those records into the board's files, and here Dr. Leon did not.
Yeah, I understand all that, and that's the kind of thing we dealt with in Whitmore, and that's why I asked, is Whitmore dispositive? But if you were going to try to distinguish Whitmore, you decided that Whitmore, you were on the other side, and you wanted to say Whitmore does not decide this case, how would you do it?
Your Honor, I think it would be extremely difficult, because not only do you have Whitmore as a body of case law guiding the court's decision in this matter, you also have 14940, which the General Assembly clearly articulated that the head of the public office will make those records which are necessary. And the necessary part of the aspect of the record is determined by its use in fact by the public office.
That's really the only distinguishing feature, is that the 14940 says it has to be, in effect, an official record or a record. And your contention is that this wasn't, we didn't have that really in Whitmore.
Well, Your Honor, maybe I misspoke. I actually think 4.0 is not a distinguishing factor in Whitmore, and actually told you, of course, and I would have a difficult time distinguishing Whitmore in any way due to the fact that it is indeed squarely within the intent of the statute and with the intent of this court's prior case, in fact, taking this case, which essentially says that that the seminal issue in determining the record is in fact the utilization by the public office. Whitmore.
You gave us a list of additional authorities. Did you not give us Whitmore?
Your Honor, Whitmore is cited in the reply brief by the court. And it's interesting you had asked that question because at the time Dr. Leon was receiving these documents, Whitmore was not available. And in fact, at the time the Court of Appeals made a decision in this case, Whitmore had not yet come down from the court. And we would like to question that. The Court of Appeals may have decided much differently had they had guidance in Whitmore at that time.
Why do you cite the District 1199 case?
Your Honor, the District 1199 case further looks to the issue of utilization in that particular case. You know, and there's been numerous cases which have come out in this court and the appellate courts where resumes have been received by public offices where they've actually made somehow official solicitations for those resumes. Decisions were made in cases such as the Lawrence County Hospital case where in other areas where decisions were made regarding termination of employment or discipline of employment, and documents in those cases were officially solicited by the public office. And then the last case, I believe, Your Honor, that's the case concerning the draft portions of the collective bargaining agreement, where that document was circulated amongst the legislative bodies and offices with determinations and modifications made. And that shows a record of how that statute is. Work its way through particular aspects of the legislation.
The Court of Appeals, as you know, said that we find that the retention of the parents' letters was necessary for the adequate proper documentation of Dr. Leon's investigative decision concerning the allegations of the truth.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because essentially, after looking at the trial court's findings, the trial court found as a matter of fact, at the evidentiary hearing, that there was an investigation. There was an investigation pursuant to a parent's formal complaint letter requesting investigation about her son who was currently on a basketball team.
Maybe because the principal suggested it? I do know that there's a trial court finding, as a matter of fact, that you're laying the evidence about this letter from Uncle.
Okay. Let's take the situation where the mother didn't do that, but upon the complaint of the mother, the principal took it upon himself
to solicit
these letters from 50 or 100 people that that have kids in the athletic program. Would that change the problem?
Your Honor, based on your hypothetical, I think it would change the issue because there become aware of the cases where resumes and other types of things are asked for by a public body.
So you don't think a principal can get around that that type of activity by suggesting it to a person who is complaining about activities in the school?
Your Honor, I put it clear, I don't think that's before the court today based on the trial court's findings that the letters were indeed unsolicited. And in fact, not only unsolicited, but the trial court said the letters were unsuitable for utilization and that they were disposed of rightly so when the board determined they were to of being of no value.
Counsel, it seems the fact that it was a city citizen to attend the all the school observed on safe issues on school property. And was the first following several right parts of the
seven of the Court of Appeals opinion where they said Dr. Leon also asserts that if he's required to retain the unsolicited letters, criticized school employees, citizens would be able to create unfavorable personnel files and so on. Then this, initially, we note that our holding does not require that such letters be maintained in a teacher's personnel file, and a school administrator is not prevented from creating a separate file for these letters. Does that say, or does that not say, that therefore every letter that comes in of any kind, you have to put in some file, some place?
Your Honor, this court has said specifically.
Is that what the Court of Appeals opinion said?
Well, I think if you take it squarely on what it said, you would say that every item comes in, and if you make a decision not to buy those 18 computers at this bargain basement price, well, then by God, you better keep that flyer because that document is your decision not to buy those computers. Maybe that would have been a wise fiscal decision to be made. So I think if you take the appellate court's opinion the way it is now, a public officer, a public head of a public office, would be paying to decide to throw anything out.
And to create a whole different file that could have a conglomeration of 100 teachers' information. Well, you'd already given about 1,800 pages of material, hadn't you?
1,800 pages over 6 months. I'm curious, too, that the particular respondent in this case did not tell the school that they were asking the letters regarding the coaches until the day and the morning of trial. That's when the school board finally found out through the realtor's mouth that she wanted these letters. Your Honor, briefly, I'd like to touch on the issue of attorney. Should this case be
just one? Before you get there, yes, you're done. Back on page 7 also, the Court of Appeals opinion. Dr. Leone testified he decided not to investigate the allegations of abuse rape in some of the parents' letters because he questioned the veracity and reliability of the letters. Isn't he using the letters to decide whether to investigate? Isn't that a Whitmore?
No, Your Honor, because there was an investigation already commenced pursuant to the mother's letters. But this, Dr. Leone made an analogy at trial that when an employee comes up under a discipline issue, determination or suspension of a bus driver or something along those lines. What we see is a lot of letters from people that are trying to influence his decision as to whether or not to move for termination of this employee or not. Similar to that, but more similar here. Investigation was already commenced and ongoing. These letters are trying to unjustly influence it. And some of the letters were actually even anonymous and some complimentary. And he made a decision to discard all of them.
Well, the Court of Appeals language sounds as if this is a could be a different investigation to investigate the allegations of abuse raised in some of the parents' letters.
Your Honor, they are, in the Court of Appeals, I think, misspoke, because if you look at the letter, they are definitely not allegations of abuse, and had they been something that rose to the level of child abuse, I think Dr. Leone would have been the most sensitive person to look into those situations.
Well, he doesn't say child abuse is an awfully broad term. It can be verbal abuse, you know, all sorts of things.
They said it was harassment.
Will we find when we read the record that the parents' letters were essentially raised the same issues as the investigation that had already been underway? That's your contention?
Correct. The meeting with the principal had took place prior to her asking the letter. I'll
take a minute on speed.
Anybody who's ever been coached has been a
teacher. I'm going to take a minute on speed, and I'm recently
included.
This court held in Orlando versus French and Washington City of Cleveland that attorneys being in the right case are punitive rather than automatic. This court has also held that this is the case especially where the board has acted and reasonably relied on non-contrived interpretations of unsettled law with little or no case guidance in a case of first impression. The court found the basis for attorney fees in this case was their own clarification of law in this case of first impression. They found no other benefit. I would ask this court to concede that every case clarifies the law regardless of who prevails. And clarification of law in and of itself is not a basis for attorney fees. Olander and Lott clarified the law. This court denied attorney fees in those cases. And the only reason for the appellate court now to grant the punitive award of attorney fees is because of the clarification of an unsettled issue. For the foregoing reasons, we ask this court to reverse the appellate court's decision and overturn any and all forfeiture and attorney fees awarded.
Thank you, Mr. Peters. Mr. Dyer.
Right law. And if we write the law the way you want, is it Whitmore had letters and nothing to do. In fact, were extraneous to the judge. The judge had every
Sending letters out to people that she thought may shed some light on her problem, right?
Well, it's a little hard to say for sure since the letters are destroyed and we don't have them. But given
did she sign them?
We do have.
Did the mother sign them?
The Balat, I'm sorry, Your Honor, mother who requested, wrote a letter where she solicited parents.
Was it anonymous to the people she sent it to?
No, Your Honor.
She signed her name.
Absolutely.
Right? And there's no evidence that anybody else received letters signed by any other person, correct?
No, Your Honor.
So no one at the school had any instigation of this investigation whatsoever?
Had any instigation, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Of the letter writing by the mother.
Well, on the record, Your Honor, I would suggest that on the record that the letters the principal initiated that.
Well, the principal said, I don't have any evidence of any wrongdoing, essentially, by the coach. And coaches get a lot of heat. The mother, the kid may be cut from the team, and the coach gets it. The teacher may give someone a failing grade, and the teacher gets it. I mean, all teachers and coaches are susceptible to a lot of criticism because people don't like what they're doing. So in soliciting the letter, it was on the initiation of this mother and no one else, correct?
Your Honor, the letter that was sent out was by Mrs. Pallott to the list of former players and current players.
All right. Say that there were no letters received by anyone. Would the principal then have contacted this mother and say, listen, I don't have any, you're not getting any responses. Did you send out the letters I asked you to? What is that? Was he so involved in it that he would have taken that type of action?
Well, let me see if I can get a two-point here. There's two things to keep in mind. Mrs. Pallott did two things. First, she filed a complaint on her own. The complaint was very specific as to the allegation of abuse. And it's not just
with the principal?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe it was the principal. There's no question that the principal investigated it and that he issued a written finding about that.
Why do you say you believe it was with the principal?
Your Honor, I can certainly determine that.
Isn't that important? Who she complained to?
I believe that the letter was sent to Your Honor, but I have to check the record on that.
Okay.
Thankfully, I'll find that before I get off the moving truck.
All right.
But the letter was sent to Dr. Leo, who is the executive, whether it was sent to Dr. Leo or the principal, Dr. Leo is the executive officer of the school board, who is the body entrusted with the care of these children and for the executive management of what's going on in the school system, Your Honor. And a complaint, there's no dispute that a complaint was made by Mrs. Pallott and investigated by Mrs. Pallott, and that as part of her complaint, one of the things she complained about is that there were a number of other instances of not just giving the player heat or making bad decisions and cutting, Your Honor. The record of the Pallott copy, the one that was maintained, has very specific allegations of mental and emotional abuse. The letters are very specific in how they allege that from parents. They don't allege, I didn't like the coach's decision, he cut my son. They allege a pattern of emotional, those words are used, emotional abuse. One parent called it an aberration of adult behavior. These are not simple disputes with a coach, Your Honor. These are disputes that rise right to the level of the function of the school district, which is to protect the school children that are entrusted to its care. And as a result of that, this case, these letters that were sent in, all relate to document an investigation that either did occur or should have occurred. These Pallott letters in and of themselves, not only do they relate to Mrs. Pallott's complaint, but they also, some of them very specifically, ask for an investigation on their own. And the record, and we put all those letters before the record that we were able to obtain from the Pallott copy, they request an investigation. It is totally distinct from Whitmore. We had letters that really should have or could have never been read by the judge. Here they relate to a core function of the school district, and an investigation was required, and these letters are part of the documentation of that investigation. Much like the Elijah decision that this court just recently rendered, in that case, there was an investigation that was done of sexual misconduct within the volunteer fire department. In that case, case, they found that sexual misconduct had occurred and they actually terminated the employee. But I would suggest to you, in that opinion, this court would have reached no other decision had the investigation yielded a decision that no sexual harassment occurred. And the newspaper, the public interest, the public policy behind the public records law would have been all the more significant to the newspapers to find out why the issues of sexual harassment had not been investigated. I see my time is up. I have 15 seconds to sum up, Your Honor.
15 seconds.
The Talawanda City School District has a duty to protect children that are entrusted to its care. When allegations of abuse of students are raised against a school official, the school district has an obligation to investigate, both at law and by its own policy, the sexual harassment policy that was mentioned in our brief, and the policy of this school board to take letters like this and put them in personal files. They said that was their policy. And on page 21 of their own brief, they acknowledged that they had these policies in place to investigate. In this case, the allegations contained in the concerned parent letters, and the letters are public records because they document the investigation activities and document non-compliance with the district's own policies and procedures. Under 149.351, Mrs. Central is entitled to an award of forfeiture damages and attorney.
Thank you very much. Mr. Dieters, you've used your time, which you may take 30 seconds. Let me start you with a question because it seems to be an important point. Is your reference to the Court of Appeals or the trial judge's finding that these letters are unsolicited, is it this sentence that is a contention of Leone that the unsolicited letters regarding Coach Holmes and Dr. Leone's own letters to the Hamilton News Journal opinion page must be redacted? Is that what you're relying on?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
There's an aspect of the opinion where it refers to contentions and arguments at trial regarding solicitation, regarding employees, the complaints regarding employees, and those motions and conclusions and acceptance that did not lead to the requirements.
There were no separate findings of fact and conclusions of law?
No, Your Honor.
Would you say again what you just said? Where is it in that opinion?
Because I looked for...
No, I'll find it. What did you say it was?
You mentioned something along the lines of contending the Dr. Leone at trial and Marquette at trial.
Yeah, yeah.
Solicited, and then regarding employee complaint letters.
Yes.
And then you followed that up by saying those particular documents themselves are not records and cite the Supreme Court of Schools.
Okay, well, I thought he was saying that part of it is they are not records pursuant to the statutory definition.
Correct.
Not that they were not solicited by the principal.
Right. You said that they refer to unsolicited communication. Yeah, I do think it is important, though, if the court thinks that issue is testimonial and making a decision, that would be the perfect example of hearsay testimony trial. This is someone saying that somebody said this to you. I think Justice Thomas, as you said, or Justice Sweeney, that what actually happened here was the mother met with the principal, and the principal said, you make these allegations, this has gone on for a long time, but I haven't heard of it. The mother then takes it upon herself to initiate and ask for her own particular file, negative file on the teacher. Your Honor, I just ask this court to lead with what the test is. The test is the utilization of the document. The test may not be what the content of those particular documents are. So maybe that's a different issue, and that's a different thing to determine on a discretionary, arbitrary, and increasing standard. The test of whether or not documents are records is solely a test of utilization. Was it utilized by the public office for its public function? Here the items were anonymous, they were unsolicited, they were unkept, they were put into a file, and therefore not records subject to 149.351. Should the court hold otherwise, we ask to overturn the attorney's fees in this case for a discussion of little or absolutely no case law to be guided. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Beatty. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.